Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, March 7th. Endometriosis treatments improve. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. The causes of endometriosis are somewhat of a mystery, but the treatments have improved over the years. Dr. Avelino Garcia said it is a gynecological pathology where the patient experiences pain when she menstruates. The Mayo Clinic website details, quote, tissue similar to the tissue that normally lines the inside of your uterus, the endometrium, grows outside your uterus, end quote. It most commonly involves the ovaries, fallopian tubes, and the tissue lining the pelvis, the site said. Garcia said it can also be found in other areas of the body, but it is rare. The condition is especially painful during menstruation. The Mayo Clinic site detailed, quote, the endometrial-like tissue acts as endometrial tissue would. It thickens, breaks down, and bleeds with each menstrual cycle. But because this tissue has no way to exit your body, it becomes trapped. When endometriosis involves the ovaries, cysts called endometriomas may form. Surrounding tissue can become irritated, eventually developing scar tissue and adhesions, bands of fibrous tissue that can cause pelvic tissues and organs to stick to each other, end quote. Garcia said, based on the presentation of the symptoms, you can do a physical examination, but a pathologist can make a definitive diagnosis through a biopsy of the affected area. It can get worse gradually over the years and can cause pain during intercourse and fertility issues. Quote, don't forget, there's a lot of other factors that could eventually lead to pelvic pain that could eventually be similar or mask or be confusing, pointing toward endometriosis, Garcia said. Pelvic pain is multifactorial, he said. You have to get good information from the patient and a good description of the onset of symptoms. Quote, in the past, it was treated with surgical therapy, Garcia said. In the past, the surgical approach was more common as an initial therapy. Now, drugs such as birth control pills and anti-inflammatories are used. There are also a class or group of drugs, GNR agonists, such as generic drugs in that group like leuprolide, buserelin, goserelin, tertorelin, neferelin, and Orlissa. Medical therapy is used more now because there is more interest in preserving fertility, Garcia said. You don't have to wait for diagnosis by a pathologist to treat endometriosis. If a patient presents symptoms, suggest the condition you can treat it as such. Although endometriosis is usually in the pelvic area, it can show up anywhere in the body, such as the large or small intestine or bladder. In the kidneys, it can manifest in different ways, such as frequent urination and blood in the urine every time the patient menstruates, Garcia said. Quote, those cells that are abnormally present in the blood are going to bleed whenever the patient menstruates, he said. Patients could also have blood in their stool, or if it is in the lungs, the patient could have a cough with blood in it. There have also been cases of cerebral endometriosis, but Garcia said it is very rare. There is also the risk of certain types of cancers and cardiovascular disease related to endometriosis, he said. causes of endometriosis are not well known. Quote, there are several hypotheses for how it starts, but nothing is really proven, Garcia said. Decreasing consumption of red meat and processed meats and increasing the amount of vegetables, that helps to manage the symptoms. Being in menopause also helps. New OC theater director wants to build community connection. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Odessa College's new director of theater, Josh Rapp, has plans not only for production on campus, but to connect the community with the arts. The Creative Works Festival is coming up March 25th, and a production of The Glass Menagerie will be in April. Rapp came to Odessa College in January. Most recently, he was working professionally at Mad Cow Theater in Orlando. Its website says, Mad Cow Theater is one of Orlando's most respected professional theater companies, presenting compelling works of theater for a wide range of audiences, with a passion for both classic and contemporary plays and musicals from the best of American and world literature, end quote. Rapp, who is from Nashville, Tennessee, taught at the University of Southern Mississippi and was an adjunct at William Carey University in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Rapp earned a bachelor's degree in dramatic arts and political science from Tennessee Tech in Cookeville, Tennessee, and a Master of Fine Arts in Performance Theater from University of Southern Mississippi. Quote, I didn't find theater until I was an undergrad in college. I knew I needed an artistic outlet, but I didn't know what it was, and then I found the theater, and I fell in love with it, and just did every show I could possibly get my hands on. Professionally, not professionally, I was working all the time, and then I finished my degree, Rapp said. He was studying physics, not theater, when a professor and mentor asked Rapp to have coffee. Rapp said he couldn't because he had a differential equations exam that he couldn't skip. Rapp was performing in the Rocky Horror Picture Show at the time. His director asked Rapp to come into the green room because there was something for him. Quote, there was a letter, a change of major form, and a check, and it just said, people have told you that you're good enough, but I don't think it was totally good enough to go do this. Go do what you're meant to do. So I changed my major, and I started studying theater, and I worked professionally, he said. Quote, I did a lot of professional Shakespeare companies. I did a lot of repping, stuff like that. Then I just was ready to elevate. I wanted to be able to work half and half as an educator and a performer, so that was the path Rapp pursued. He earned his MFA and started applying for professorships. Quote, that's how I cycled my time. I spent my 9-month academic calendar here working as the director of theater, and then the summers and winters working professionally around the country, Rapp said. He added that being able to do both is important for his students and the community. Quote, I can't teach something that I'm not doing. At least, that's my mentality. It's also useful for educating students. So when I walk into a room and I go, here's something I heard in an audition. These are things that will be useful to you in getting cast, Rapp said. If he gives students an example of what he heard in an audition, as opposed to reading about it, it has more impact. Quote, it's an elevated level of education that I can provide them because I'm working in the same field that I'm training them to work toward, Rapp added. He said it also keeps him energized as an artist. Quote, it's important for that balance for me to still be able to work, create, perform, and teach. It keeps both things balanced and keeps me creatively sparked in both areas, Rapp said. He's a big fan of Golden Age musicals. A couple of examples are Pal Joey or Oklahoma. Quote, I think some of the topics are problematic just because of period, but I think things like Guys and Dolls are really moving. I think they're really palatable, but I also really enjoyed modernist works, Rapp said. He added that he's fascinated with a play called Constellations, and he likes plays that are created with a cast in the room. A show is created, and then it becomes a script. One of his friends, Robert Icke, takes classics and reimagines them. Rapp said he wrote 1984 based on the George Orwell novel. He noted that he likes theater overall because he gets bored easily. Quote, theater provides me with a creative but also constructive academic outlet for everything to be different, Rapp said. During his standard day, he comes in and teaches students movement or yoga. He'll attend board meetings, sit in on meetings for arts and culture in Odessa. Then he will recruit, talking to students about what they're passionate about. Quote, then maybe I'll walk into the theater and my technical director needs to build something, and it has to be hands-on, so he will take his coat off and help paint or build something. Quote, I go get a cup of coffee and I come back and I'm directing a play right now, so then I'm in the director's chair doing that. I don't know any other job that allows me to do a whole breadth of things within my day. That suits me well because I like doing all of those things and I don't have to just do one, Rapp said. He also enjoys the connection the theater brings. You may work with people intimately for 8 weeks and never see them again, or you might, he said. Rapp said the OC Theater Department will host a celebration of arts at the Globe Theater March 25th that will be a variety of arts. The event will be free and open to the public, he said. Rapp said he has been working closely with Odessa Arts and its executive director, Randy Hamm, to make that connection between the community and the arts. The next show is Tennessee Williams' The Glass Menagerie. It will have a cast of 4. Quote, we're in production for that right now. That is an Odessa College production, Rapp said. He will direct and produce The Glass Menagerie, and Amanda Clips Fuqua will do the set design. Dates are April 28th through 30th. Quote, I think it's timely because it's a memory play and a dream of remembering. I find myself even personally experience a little disassociation with the last couple of years just because things have been strange, Rapp said. Quote, I find myself in a phenomenon of going, was that last year? Was that 2 years ago? That's why I find Glass Menagerie really moving, because it's kind of adjacent to that. We play a little with the concept of time, and so it's a really lovely-like accent to that. Also, it's a classic, which, when I found out we hadn't done Tennessee Williams here in a long time, it just seems like now's the perfect time. It's a small cast. It's a well-run show. It's well-known. I think the community will really enjoy it. I just think it's a really moving, lovely piece. My actors are working really hard and are incredibly talented. I can't speak of her enough, but Amanda Clips Fuqua, she's the technical director here at Odessa, but she's also a brilliant designer, he added. His goals are investing in and rebuilding the sense of community and growing the program. Quote, my goal for both this theater and for the community and arts in general, for the greater Odessa area, is I want to create high-quality enough work that is compelling for people to get involved in it, and students want to participate, Rapp said. Currently, there are 6 theater majors, but ultimately, Rapp said he would like to bring on more faculty because that means more experiences for students. Quote, Obviously, our goal is to expand that, but while it is a small cohort, it has its advantages. You have new faculty, and the classroom sizes are incredibly one-on-one, which is useful in a studio. In bigger programs, you have to divide those sections into more sections with more faculty, Rapp said. Chair of Visual and Performing Arts, Eric Baker, said they are excited to bring Rapp onto the team. Quote, he brings an energy and perspective that will continue the legacy of quality of the Odessa College Theater Program, Baker said in a text message. Postpartum depression is a serious issue. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. When my daughter was an infant, there was an infant that was in the news because she was abandoned out in a field in the Houston area and eventually died. The cause of death was fire ant bites. This story, over 30 years later, still stands out vividly in my memory because that baby and my daughter shared a birthday. I remember thinking, how could a parent do that? This mother was suffering from postpartum depression, and she thought that someone would find her baby and the baby would be better off. Her mental state did not allow her to see how her actions were more dangerous to the baby than staying in her care would have been. It was the first time I remember hearing the words postpartum depression. Unfortunately, it wasn't the last. Postpartum depression is like any kind of depression. It can quite literally pose a threat to life, and it needs to be taken very seriously. Postpartum depression is depression that occurs after childbirth. It is not baby blues. Baby blues happens to most women when they feel sad or empty after childbirth, but those feelings go away quickly, for most people within 3 to 5 days. Postpartum depression occurs when those feelings last more than 2 weeks and are accompanied by a feeling of hopelessness. When people experience those types of symptoms, it is not normal. Postpartum depression is also common. 1 in 8 moms experience some form of postpartum depression, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. Thankfully, postpartum depression is very treatable. Postpartum depression is usually caused by the rapid changes in estrogen, progesterone, and thyroid hormones that occur within hours of childbirth. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health, symptoms of postpartum depression last for more than 2 weeks and include feeling restless or moody, feeling sad, hopeless or overwhelmed, crying a lot, having thoughts of hurting the baby, having thoughts of hurting yourself, not having interest in the baby, not feeling connected to the baby, or feeling as if your baby is someone else's baby, having no energy or motivation, eating too little or too much, sleeping too little or too much, having trouble focusing or making decisions, having memory problems, feeling worthless, guilty, or like a bad mother, losing interest or pleasure in activities you used to enjoy, withdrawing from friends and family, and having headaches, aches and pains, or stomach problems that don't go away. Those at highest risk for postpartum depression are first-time moms and mothers of multiples, such as twins or triplets. Postpartum depression is also more common in moms under 25 or over 40. Those that already have a personal or family history of depression are also at higher risk. Other things that can contribute to postpartum depression are lack of a good support system, previous problems with a pregnancy or birth, relationship or money problems, drug and alcohol abuse, babies with special needs, difficulty breastfeeding, and unwanted pregnancies. One of the biggest issues with postpartum depression is getting moms to talk about it and seek treatment. Often moms are reluctant to talk about their symptoms because they feel embarrassed or guilty about the depression-related feelings because they don't want to be seen as not being happy or as being a bad mom. The opposite is true. Those that seek care when they have these feelings are not bad moms. They are the best of moms because they know something is wrong and do something about it. Please reach out to your primary health care provider, your obstetrician or pediatrician, if you are experiencing these symptoms of postpartum depression for more than 2 weeks. If those feelings keep getting stronger, if you cannot care for yourself or your baby, or you have thoughts about hurting yourself or your baby, don't wait 2 weeks. Seek care immediately. If you want to learn more about postpartum depression, you can reach out to the Office on Women's Health at 800-994-9662 or on their website at tinyurl.com/2P992B6H.
Effectiveness of vaccines is complicated. Dear Dr. Roach, I was wondering if you could explain why some vaccinations seem to completely protect against a disease while others do not. For example, smallpox was completely eradicated by vaccination, and the hepatitis B vaccine is good for life and 98% to 100% effective, according to the World Health Organization. Yet we need to have the flu vaccine each year. I understand that it's partly due to different strains of flu that come through, but of course we have the coronavirus, which I hope you can see where this question is going. I think an understanding of the vaccines we have and how they work would be beneficial to all MS. Answer: it is hard even for experts to predict the effectiveness of a vaccine, and these experts have been pleasantly surprised at how effective some vaccines were and disappointed at others. The smallpox vaccine was about 95% effective at preventing a person from getting a case, but its effectiveness started to wane after 3 to 5 years. Smallpox was eradicated through multiple means, not just vaccination. Quarantine remained a critical tool. When a case was identified, everyone who was in possible contact with that person was vaccinated or revaccinated, a strategy called ring vaccination. The global eradication of smallpox was an immense effort requiring not only enormous resources, but also the political power to ensure its success. It was often met with resistance by anti-vaccine activists. They became vocal within a few years of the creation of the vaccine in 1796 and used some of the same information that is still being spread today. However, mortality rates of 15% to 30% led to mandates that were enforced in the UK and the US, which has been repeatedly upheld by the US Supreme Court. These mandates led directly to dramatic drops in smallpox deaths.
This is the Dear Abby column. Dysfunctional relationships collide in workplace affair. Dear Abby, I'm a supervisor at my job and have feelings for a married man who also works here. He's lonely and looks to me for attention, companionship, sex, and to listen to his troubles. We have only had sex once, but I know I cannot continue this relationship. It breaks my heart because I care for him deeply, and if he was single, this is someone I could actually have a relationship with. I have already told him I won't accept any more of his offers to walk me home and to quit texting me. He's open with his wife regarding dating other people. It seems she's also talking to another man outside of their marriage. Am I delusional to think he will leave her for me? Would he have the same problems with me that he has with her? He has difficulty expressing his emotions, but I think he still loves his wife. I know their marriage is broken, and it's not my job to fix it for them or to push him to choose me over her. It should not have to be this way. Please, I would appreciate any advice you can offer. By the way, I'm also married, but my husband lives 7,000 miles away. After 7 years, his immigration status still needs to be resolved. I'll probably ask him for a divorce because even though I care about him, I'm no longer in love with the man I married. He knows I have been dating someone because I told him. Signed, In Knots in New York. Dear In Knots, you didn't mention whether there are policies in your business about fraternizing, but if there are, then what you have been doing could get you fired. You have already started disengaging from this office romance, so please continue to do that. Because of the unique circumstances of your marriage, you have some serious decisions to make. Do not drag your coworker into it. If there is a possibility of a future with him, he also needs to decide if he is satisfied with the status quo before making any other commitments. I know you are lonely, but for your sake and his, back off. Dear Abby, my husband of more than 20 years has taken to hiding decorative accessories that he doesn't like. An example: a designer bowl set packaged in a box suddenly disappeared from the cupboard. The plug-in air freshener from my home office also went missing. A lamp I moved from the living room to the foyer appeared on my bookcase 2 hours later. My complaints fall on deaf ears. His favorite coffee mug and iPad are about to mysteriously vanish. Can you talk some sense into him? Signed, Hyde and Seek in Georgia. Dear Hyde, is this recent behavior, or has your husband been hiding things all during your marriage? If it's recent, your husband may need a medical checkup, because what you are describing can be a symptom of dementia. If he's mentally fit, you two need to work on sharpening your communication skills and perhaps agree that before any more items are brought into the home the two of you share, they're not something either of you will hate. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.